Now, over the next couple of months here on Kildare Today, every week we'll be profiling a variety of vibrant, different Kildare social enterprises, all in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership, who support the development and growth of social enterprises throughout Kildare. Well, on the line, we have Brian Kelly, Project Development Officer with County Kildare Leader Partnership, and Mary Minogue, Social Enterprise and Enterprise Support Officer, and they're both with us. Good morning to you, Brian. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Owen.
We're going to start with you, Brian, first of all. Just explain to us, County Kildare Leader Partnership, who you are and what you do.
County Kildare Leader Partnership, Owen, we're the local development company for County Kildare, and we deliver a number of programmes supporting individuals, businesses and communities all over the county. And they really are development programs that we are delivering in the county. So programs such as the LEADER program, which is also known as the Rural Development Program, the SICAP program, which is a social inclusion program, and we have a number of other programs as well. We deliver the TOOS program and the Rural Social Scheme, and a number of other development programs throughout the county. So very much a local development company for County Kildare, working very much with other agencies and the local authority and communities throughout the county.
Absolutely. And Mary, just explain the term to a social enterprise, what that actually means and the various different types that we have here in Kildare.
Well, a social enterprise is an enterprise like any other enterprise. But a social enterprise, its main aim is to really achieve a societal or social or environmental impact rather than maximising profit. So our social enterprises in Kildare respond to local needs. They have traded income like any other business, and they operate in a very accountable and transparent way. And if the social enterprise dissolves, its assets would then transfer to another organisation with a very similar mission. So examples in County Kildare would be Small Jobs Kildare, the Kildare Small Jobs Lullymore Heritage and Discovery Park in Rathangan, the Piers Cafe in Moon, Sensational Kids. There's lots of social enterprises in County Kildare.
And I know that if, I suppose, a person listening or community group have a social enterprise idea, that yourselves at the County Kildare Leader Partnership would be encouraging them to come forward, because you can provide support and advice and maybe help them on their way.
Absolutely. We've actually, as part of this promotional work, we have an event happening on the 1st of November where we're going to be unveiling the social enterprise logo for the Kildare Social Enterprises. So the idea is that your logo will be on your building, and then people can choose to support this social enterprise. So we'd encourage anybody that has an idea to certainly come along to our event or contact myself and Brian, and we'll talk you through the process.
And Brian, I mentioned there the types of support and advice that the County Kildare Leader Partnership can give to those who may have a social enterprise idea. What's the actual process like if somebody comes forward?
So we, over the last couple of years, we have been rolling out training and mentoring programs. We have a long history of working with social enterprises in the county. Social enterprises is very much a term that has come to light in recent years, but social enterprises have been there for many years, and so there is a real focus on social enterprises now. As Mary said, at the moment we have we've been approved for funding under the ARISE program, which is we're rolling out a promotional program for social enterprises throughout the county over the next couple of months. We also, over the last 2 years, we've been delivering training and mentoring support. So if people are thinking about setting up a social enterprise, if they want to come and talk to myself and Mary, we can look at providing training and mentoring support. And that's something that we will be focusing on again as we head into 2023. But for the next couple of months, towards the end of 2022, we're very much looking at the promotion and marketing of social enterprises in the county. But Mary and myself are here and available to talk to anybody who is thinking about a social enterprise idea if they want to get in touch with us.
Yeah, and over the next 2 months, as I say, every week we're going to be profiling a variety of different Kildare social enterprises. And just to quickly run through them, starting next week, we'll be talking to Kildare Small Jobs, an affordable property maintenance service for all small household jobs. Then Sensational Kids in Kildare, of course, fantastic organisation, helping children and adolescents of all abilities to thrive and realise their potential. The Lullymore Heritage and Discovery Park at Kildare Tourism and biodiversity focused social enterprise. We'll then be chatting to the Shackleton Museum in Athy, which I'm looking forward to because I'm a huge fan and admirer of the work that Erna Shackleton has done. Then the Acre Project on the Maynooth Road in Selbridge, an eco-friendly community-based creative environment for groups and individuals. Macaulay Place on the Salins Road in the heart of Naas, a multifunctional community centre. And then we'll finish up with the Old Hardware in Narramore, a community-run cafe, meeting place and grocer in the heart of Narramore Village. What's striking me there, Brian, in particular, and just to finish on this, is that there's so many social enterprises and they're all spread right across the county from the north, south, east and west.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just a sample of the social enterprises that we have been working with. We've actually been working with 20 social enterprises over the last 2 years have been engaging closely with us. And there are many others out there as well. So we would encourage any, you know, social enterprises that haven't been in touch with us to contact Mary and I, or community groups or communities who are thinking about starting up a social enterprise. But absolutely, Owen, you're correct. There's a huge diversity of social enterprises out there all over the county.
And Mary, they also contribute to the society and to the community as well. There's a lot of giving back, and I suppose that's the core of what a social enterprise is.
Absolutely. I mean, social enterprises tend to get it set up when some sort of gap is identified, some sort of local need is identified. And from that, then people realise to close this gap, we need to have some sort of solution. And then they turn it into a business. And it's a business like any other business, but it responds very much to a need.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic and I'm looking forward to it now, I have to say, over the next couple of months to chatting to those various different social enterprises. It's a great, great initiative and as we said, they're all spread right across the county, north, south, east and west. Brian Kelly, Project Development Officer with County Kildare Leader Partnership, and Mary Minogue, Social Enterprise and Enterprise Support Officer with the organisation as well. Thanks for taking our call this morning and good morning.
Thanks,
to you.
Do you mind if we just mention before we go off the call, just Kildare Social Inclusion Week is taking place this week and there's a schedule of events on all week, and if anybody is interested in finding information on it, just go to kildarepn.ie. And that's for Kildare Social Inclusion Week for communities all over the county.
Super stuff. So that website again is
kildarepn.ie. Yeah.
Okay.
And it starts today.
And we'll give it another mention throughout the course of the week as well here on Kildare KFM and Kildare Today. So thanks to Brian Kelly and to Mary Minogue, and that website again, kildarepn.ie.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, you're very welcome back to the programme. There's still to come this hour. We'll be going back to the Naas Municipal District meeting with Councillor Shamie Moore. We'll also be hearing from Thai boxer Eric Donovan, who was crowned European champion over the weekend, and we'll look back at the local GAA action. But first, we're returning now to a topic that we brought up on the programme on Friday, and it's to do with a student who had to defer her place at Maynooth University because of the accommodation crisis, and she's already began looking for somewhere to live next September. Caitlin Faye Maniti is on the line. She received a first round CAO offer to study entrepreneurship, but has decided to take a gap year so that she can save up for rent and relieve some of the pressure on her parents next year. She's also the president of the Irish Second Level Students Association, or union. Caitlin, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Just give us a bit of background here then. You're living up in Letterkenny in Donegal, so obviously commuting to and from Maynooth University is not an option. You've been looking for accommodation for months and months.
Yes, I have. So, yeah, just a bit of background. I have applied to entrepreneurship in Maynooth, and I got my offer, first round offer there. I'm from Letterkenny. And yes, if I were to go to university this year, it would be a 5-hour commute up and down like every week. So yeah, that was the situation I've been in this year. Me and my parents were kind of ushered by other parents whose kids went to college the previous year to really get into to finding accommodation as soon as possible. At first, we were kind of shocked. We were like, it's okay. Accommodation can wait. But we didn't really understand kind of that it was a huge pressure. It was something that you need to get on as soon as possible. And so we've been going on to student accommodation villages since February. We've gone through the whole process normally, but we still didn't get a place. We still didn't get an offer. And that was since February. And so this summer, we've kind of been looking at other options, other kind of alternative options like Digs on daft.ie or just through friends of friends, and then other options like B&Bs that were just not really comfortable. And my parents weren't really comfortable with me going there because it was just kind of not conventional in a way. And yeah, I would have to also travel and commute, which was another 40 minutes out the road. And it's not even on campus, where it's most safe. So my parents weren't really comfortable, and I wasn't comfortable in that situation.
And I know that you had your mind made up and you were set on coming to Kildare and studying at Maynooth University. And when you say that you were struggling to find accommodation, was it literally that everywhere was booked out or things were just far too expensive?
It was a bit of both. Yes, I was fixated on Maynooth. Maynooth is a lovely college, and I have a lot of friends who are going there as well. But it was honestly just a bit of both. It was mix and matching. Anywhere that was kind of more affordable for my parents were just taken up. And then other that were available were just crazy expensive. And so our hands were essentially just tied. And it was just both situations had kind of balanced just disadvantages to both. So, yeah, and I'll give an example. Like one of the digs that we were looking at were 1,000 euro per month, but I would still have to travel another 40 minutes by train to the campus. So it was just, that's just one of the examples of many that I had to kind of look into.
Yeah, that's crazy expensive. And I know that on-campus accommodation is highly sought after. So usually that's booked up very, very quickly. And, you know, it's not always an option. But when you look around the various different options that you explored, to receive a quote for 1,000 euro for a room in Digs per month, that's excluding bills, I would imagine, and then it's still 40 minutes away from Maynooth University. It's crazy. It's meant now that you've had to defer your place at Maynooth. You won't be coming here to study this year. How did that make you feel? Was it a tough decision to make?
Yeah, very tough decision to make. I had discussions with my parents. Like, accommodation was only just one of the many reasons I have deferred. But it was something that was just, you know what, because of this, we're just not comfortable with you staying, like commuting 5 hours a week just to go up and down for college. And it was just like, it is 5 hours away. I've never lived so far away from my parents. And not only, you know, were they nervous for me moving away, they were going to essentially put me in a place that, you know, I wasn't going to be comfortable in. So just essentially made that decision that I will defer. I was kind of upset about that because all my friends are going to college as well, and I'm kind of feeling left out. However, yeah. I'm also taking the gap year for, as you said, my role on the Irish Second Level Students Union. So I'll be able to fulfill that role to best my abilities now that I have more time and my capacity. I have more capacity on that. I'll be able to dedicate my time to to advocating for students' rights on the second level issues.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think it does highlight the crisis out there that is facing students. The benefit that you have is that you have reserved your place now at Maynooth for next year. And that's the, I suppose, the beautiful thing about deferring a college course. You've already started looking at accommodation for next September. So 12 months away, September 2023, because obviously you'd be taking your place then.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I'm in the position as well as many other 60-year students. So not only are they going to go through the process of the actual leaving cert and going through that pressure and that stress of finishing their exams, but they're also kind of looking for accommodation as well. And that in itself is also a lot of pressure. So I'm, as well as many other students in 6 year, currently are looking for accommodation for the next year.
Well, listen, many thanks for taking our call on the programme this morning. I do appreciate it. I just want to mention as well that Maynooth University here have issued a statement to The Independent, and it was covered in the newspaper last week. It says Maynooth University is in the process of offering round two places to students and said it would be, in quotes, preemptive to issue any deferral figures. A spokesperson said, we appreciate that accommodation remains an extremely difficult issue for students and are actively working to support all students through our Home Finder service, which puts students in touch with private sector providers and dedicated bus routes to allow more students to commute. But as we've heard there from Caitlin Faye Maniti, she couldn't secure accommodation in Maynooth and therefore had to defer her college course until next year, but has a busy year ahead as her role in the Irish Second Level Students Union as President. Caitlin, many thanks for taking our call this morning and good morning to you.
Now back over to the Naas Municipal District. I have Independent Councillor Shamie Moore on the line. Good morning to you, Shamie.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, listeners.
So I'm going to use the word that I believe many people don't think should be used until November, maybe 30th, but that is Christmas. You've asked the council to confirm if the car parking charges accepted during Christmas 2021 period have been paid to the Friends of Naas Hospital, which was agreed by the members of Naas MD.
Yeah, that's a good news story that we've had a couple of years where, shall we say, parking fees were taken from people into the parking meters, and there was no need to be doing it. And in 2021, we were able to give 2,700 to Friends of Naas Hospital. It's a very, it's a great service in the general area. So it would be people from the general area who had put the money into the parking meter. So everybody was quite pleased about the idea that it would go back to Naas Hospital as a benefit to the general public for not for having put money into the machines during a time when they didn't have to do it. Now, apparently, in 2022, the money has not been allocated just yet because there is a need to bring forward some charity status from Friends of Naas Hospital. But we'll work that out.
Okay, okay. We're going to move on now to the Public Realm Outdoor Seating Facility. This is on the north side of the entrance to the Church of Ireland grounds, of course, on North Main Street in Naas. You have talked about being transferred across to the south side of the entrance on health and safety grounds.
Well, anybody who drives into the Church of Ireland grounds knows that you must come back out again. And when you're coming out, you cannot see any distance whatsoever to the north side of the town because your view is completely blocked with the facility that's there. I'm not against the idea of a facility. I'm just against the location of it. And what I'm suggesting is that if they transferred it to the other side of the exit from the Church of Ireland, then there would be nothing to impede you looking to your right and coming out in the safer way. There's a lot of that particular parklet on that site for bad design and things like that. I was giving the council a way out under the Health and Safety Act, but they didn't bite on it, and they will continue to leave it there. It's a bit bulky. To me, it's dangerous in the wrong place. It's the narrowest street in the town of Naas, and that's the widest structure. It should be transferred to a more suitable...
And, Seamy, just to go through what the council did say, they said on the 13th of this month, during a busy lunchtime, this is the direct report, a member of the SPPOR team, they tested the right turn when exiting the grounds, and they concluded that a review of the planting would help. Some of the planting has grown high and some has died, so planting refresh with low planting might help. On exiting the grounds, there is some visibility. However, a car does need to nudge its way out cautiously. And arguably, this scenario is no worse than if a vehicle was parked in the car parking space, as shown then an image on the main street area. What would you say to the report in full?
I think that's an admittance that there's a danger there. And my particular bringing it to highlighting it means that I've done the right thing, but they have their heads in the sand still. They should lower the structure. It's raised higher because there's a slope on the ground. And if they move to the other side, there's less of a slope and a wider street. And I'd love to see it being a very popular parklet, but it's in a dangerous spot.
So, Seamy, finally, you asking for the annualised report be given to members at the September MD meeting on all the development levies that are received in each electoral subsection of the MD since 2014. You asked where the amounts of finance have been either totally or partially allocated. This is to fund community development in each of the sections. To go through it in full, a total of the contributions received, €2,273,740,000, €2 million, that is.
Yeah, look, what happens is when people pay levies either on new houses or on new structure developments of any commercial nature, it's divided up. Those levies are divided up for future costs that would be incurred by Kildare County Council and that are requirements in the area. There's a very low contribution allocated to community development. It's as low as 6%, and it accumulates over a period of time, and it's used for various groups in the locality that need to expand or repairs or whatever. Near sports centre, scouts, near more theatre, tennis club, the community centre, things like that. But in this case now, they have accumulated 2.2 million over a period of quite a few years. And they've given away half of that to the economic development hub called Merits. It's a commercial enterprise, and it's actually a county-wide benefit. If nothing, it's a regional benefit thing. But they've taken all of the, they've taken 53% of the community funds from the Naas area to finance that particular development. It's a bit overstretched on Naas because now there's only 1.2 million left in the kitty. And, you know, that would buy the 2.2 million, or sorry, the 1.2 that they gave to Merits would buy 80 acres of land in Naas for the sports groups that are crying out for extra facilities. So it's a bit too much to say that Merits is a community venture. It doesn't reach down to community, in my opinion.
Okay, and just to briefly go through that, broadband, €3,240. The Naas Area Community Project, €136,000, nearer €137,000 actually. Johnstown Garden Centre land, €65,000. Maudlands Avenue Community Centre, €26,000. Johnstown Community Centre, €200,000. Naas Public Lighting, €22,300. Naas Community Facilities, over €500,000. And Monreed Community Centre, €93,000. And then finally, of course, the economic hub, that's Merits, 1.2 million. Seamy Moore, councillor for the Naas MD, thank you so much.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare's KFM.
All right, couple more messages to catch up on then. Would you please send birthday greetings to my granddaughter, Niamh McNamara Duggan. Have a great day. Lots of love from Nanny Teresa. Also, another one here. Could you please wish Niall Sargent from Ballymore Eustace a very happy birthday today, with love and best wishes from Maureen and John. Hi, Owen. Lots of benefits being announced for children in the budget. Extra children's allowance, reduction in childcare, etc., which is brilliant for that sector. section of the population, but not a mention of anything for the child who has turned 18 but is still dependent on their parents, is in school or college and lives at home. They might or might not have a part-time job, but absolutely nothing mentioned for them. Why? Asks Mary. Nothing mentioned as of yet, Mary, but we'll have to wait and see what comes from the budget tomorrow. Some of the topics that I went through on the programme this morning is just kind of stuff that has half been announced or kind of been leaked as to what might come out tomorrow. But the devil is in the detail, as they say, and that will be announced tomorrow. Another one here says, by giving energy credits rather than energy caps only adds to inflation in the energy sector. Likewise, won't tax credit to renters only inflate the rental market? And I think that John Downing mentioned that a little earlier on. Thanks indeed for getting in touch.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Yeah, we're going to take a look back at the local GAA action in a few moments' time. But first of all, it was a great night on Saturday night for a Thai man, Eric Donovan, who was crowned EU European champion. He had a unanimous win over Frenchman Khalil El Hadri in the Europa Hotel in Belfast. And here he is speaking to Boxing Tickets Northern Ireland after that fight.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. It really is. Like, you know, I have to pinch myself, like, you know, that I've done it, you know. I've worked so hard for this. Worked so hard for it and I finally done it. And to do it on Irish soil, on Irish TV, with all the fans in my corner, just incredible. Couldn't have asked for a better night. Just ebbed and flowed. Like, I knew that he was going to come on strong. He was in great shape. He's a big puncher. And he caught me some big shots, you know. Even the one that got where I got the count, like, you know, I know he caught me well, but I wasn't really buzzed. I wasn't hurt. I was just kind of caught off balance because I was an amateur for years and years, you know, and I'm still sometimes a little bit up on my toes. And so when these professionals hit me, I can kind of be a little bit light and would not sturdy, you know, not able to absorb the punch. So it kind of knocks me off balance and drove me onto the ropes. Ref gave a count. So, but Paki kept feeding me the right information in the corner. You know, he just said, Eric, we'll take this fight. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Round by round, round by round. And, you know, when we got into the second half of the fight, you know, Paki just said, this is even. There's nothing in this fight, you know what I mean? And, you know, you can see how frustrated he's getting now. So you need to push him back a little bit. And I did, you know, put my hands up, pushed him back a little bit, kept moving away to his jab side, to his left, my right, so he couldn't land the big right hands. And then I started introducing my own left hook. You know, I feinted the jab to him, threw the left hook around the corner as well, and that started landing. And, you know, I started to kind of get success, but it was a very highly tactical affair. You know, there was times where he'd come in and land some really good shots, and then I had to regroup and come back, and it ebbed and flowed for so long. I think coming into the championship rounds, I was well within the fight, well in the driving seat. And Paki said to me, going out for the 11 to 12, Eric, you win these rounds, you win the fight. And I just got up and boxed. I just got up and boxed, and he had nothing left in the tank. You could see that he hit me with everything, and he couldn't put me away. I just kept moving, kept dancing, kept showcasing my skills, just trying to land fast jabs, good backhands. Speed was just bamboozling him at times, you know. And I broke his heart, you know. I broke his heart in there, and I could see it in his face, you know, because he had the power, he had the strength, the ferociousness, but he just. He hit me with everything, and I was still there, still moving, still punching, and that just broke his heart, I think.
How much did obviously the fans in the last couple of rounds as well? Because there wasn't a person sitting, obviously everybody was on their feet chatting you on. I think probably people could realise that how much of a warrior spirit you're given, that they were obviously making sure in the championship rounds they were being the extra sort of voice you need in your head to spur you on in them championship rounds to lead you to victory.
A fight like this, it was all about the fans. On Irish soil, you know, fighting for a European title is one thing, but to fight for it on Irish soil is another thing, complete other thing. Like, that you have 99% of the people here in your corner, and they drove me on. They never stopped backing me, they never stopped cheering, and I just got that energy and fed off it, and I fed off all the experiences of my life and the experiences of my past and all the setbacks and knockbacks. And I just put it all together and used it to just keep punching. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just said, stay fighting here, Eric. Stay going. You know, the last two big fights I had in Sky Sports, I got knocked out in spectacular fashion. You know? So it was a natural human instinct for me to be worried going into this fight, you know? I had battled with myself, you know? I had to battle the negativity, battle the fear, battle the doubt, you know? And also kept telling myself, Eric, come on. The only thing you can do is keep turning up, keep stepping up, keep turning up, day after day, putting the work in, because that's where the strength lies, in the preparation. And when I walked to the ring there today, I said I'd done all the work I could. Yes, naturally, it's going to be natural to doubt and to worry and have fears. That's part of life, you know, that's what makes everything exciting. The one question I kept going back to was, have I done the work? Yes, I have. I trained my ass off. So go out there and do it. And that was it. And here we are.
Yeah, Thai man Eric Donovan speaking to Boxing Tickets Northern Ireland following his fantastic win against Khalil El Hadri on Saturday night at the Europa Hotel in Belfast. A KFM sports commentator, Ger McNally, is on the line now. Ger, before we talk about the GAA action over the weekend, that is a fantastic achievement from Eric Donovan and, as it was described on Twitter over the weekend, a lifelong dream and a lifelong achievement now from him.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. I was watching it there on Saturday evening, and it was brilliant. Yeah, he's something else. He was under real pressure at different stages, and he kind of fought his way back. And that 10th round was probably the defining round of his whole boxing career, because he was looked like he was dead and buried in the opening minute of it. He was staggering, and it looked as if the referee was going to step in and stop it at any second. But somehow he turned it around, and by the end of that round, he was a stronger fighter, and I think that absolutely broke the spirit then of El Hadri, because he knew he just couldn't stop Eric. And yeah, fantastic win and a great way to I won't say close his career, because there may be still possibilities to go, but definitely it's the crowning glory of his professional career. And if it is to be his last fight, and maybe it will be, it's one hell of a way to go out. He's a great lad, and he deserves everything that he's getting. And he'll become a father for the third time as well in just a few weeks. Laura, his wife, is ready to give birth in a few weeks, I think. So it's an exciting time for him.
Yeah, jubilation on that front for the Thai town, but unfortunately disappointment earlier in the day when they played against Clane, and jubilation from a Clane point of view, who just continued to go from strength to strength and have booked their place now in the Senior Football Championship final.
Yeah, for the first time since 1998, people might remember that 98 final because it was a famous one delayed, obviously due to the success of Kildare that summer. And it was only played a couple of weeks before Christmas, and Clane actually only scored 4 points in it, losing that game to Round Powers, and I believe it was horrendous conditions. I've read a few reports on it over the weekend and stuff. They were back in the semi-final for the first time since 2007 there on Saturday, and actually, to be fair, a tie were the better side during the first half. They set up really well. They were very well organised, and they stopped the free-flowing attacking nature of the Clane game. They really did frustrate them. But the problem for Atai was that when they counter-attacked and got themselves into pretty decent positions, they couldn't take the scores themselves. And they actually were trailing at half-time by 5 points to four after Clane scored the last 2 points of the half inside the last minute of normal time. And that probably wasn't a reflection of the half. It wasn't a reflection of the half at all, really. But the Thais missed opportunities then came back to haunt them. They did level it up early in the second half. But from the moment that Sam Riley palmed home from close range after Shane O'Sullivan had set him up in the 36th minute for the only goal of the game, Clane were pretty much in control after that. And fantastic achievement. Tom Crippen was the manager back in 98 when Clane last got to the final. He was player manager actually at that stage, and he's manager again here. And as he said afterwards, this wasn't something that happened on Saturday. This is something that happened a long, long time ago. There's an awful lot of planning that has gone into the underage structures there in Clane, very much like Nace, and they're two sides that have had great battles at underage levels, at various levels, right the way up, going back to coming the month go all the way through. They played, I think, in three or four minor finals in a row, and including a couple of really fantastic games, under 21 finals, and now they'll meet in a couple of weeks in the senior final.
Yeah, it has the makings of a great final, Jared, doesn't it? Because we're going to hear a clip from Tom Cribben in a moment, but I know in the extended interview he said that it's most likely going to be a shootout between Clane and Nace, two very attack-minded teams.
Yeah, very much so. Both of them have played against kind of defensive setups in the semi-finals, both Selbridge and the Thai. Tried their best to nullify Nace and Clane respectively, with kind of 14, 15 men behind the ball at different stages. And for long spells, both teams did that. But in the end, Clane and Nace found a way to get through. So yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how both teams go into the game. I wonder, will there be a surprise from one or the other? Will they maybe try to do something that we're not expecting? But certainly, if they line up as we have seen them throughout the course of this season, it could be a fantastic game. And I mentioned a couple of those minor finals, that some of them were absolutely amazing games between the two teams. And if they're anything like the entertainment that we've seen in those matches, it's definitely one to look forward to. But yeah, fair play to claim they were the Kildare team of the 90s. They reached five finals in a row in the late 80s, early 90s, then 3 and 4 years in the late 90s, but haven't been back there since. So they definitely will enjoy the next couple of weeks building up towards that final.
Yeah, the full-time score, Clane 1-12, Athy 1-8. Here's manager Tom Cribben.
Going in a point up at half-time after playing horrible football, but like, they were set up, you know, good defensively. They had a man back, taking out our two danger men. I thought the lads controlled well, because you could see it in them before the game, and for that, no matter what we said to them, they were nervous. Yeah, I know, it's incredible for these group and the club, because we have a lot of very good young players coming, and it's important to win, because if you don't win one, an awful lot will emigrate, you know. And there's going to be so many anyway. We've lost five already this year, but big panel and an awful lot more good young lads coming. But it is important. You have to get the county finals.
Yeah, played then on Saturday night was the Tom Cross Transport Junior Football Championship A final. Just 5 minutes in the car separating Ribben and Castle Mitchell, but 4 points separated them at the full-time whistle. Ribben 2-7, Castle Mitchell 9 points. The Kildare LGFA finals over the weekend as well. In the senior final, Eadstown 1-11, Sarsfields 4 points. Intermediate final, Kilcullen 2-12, Naas 3-6. Junior A final, Raheens 4-9, Nafina 3-5. Junior B final, Milltown 3-15, Two Mile House 9 points. And Junior C, Rathcoffey 3-12, Maynooth second team 4-7. Your attention then turned to the hurling scene yesterday afternoon. We'll talk about the Senior B hurling championship final, which was on Saturday, in a few moments time. But yesterday, Naas making it four in a row with a 20-point to 12-point win against Maynooth. But fair to say, they didn't have it all their own way.
Yeah, sorry, I wouldn't be forgiven on here if I don't mention Kilcullen. I wouldn't be able to show my face around the town there. The Kilcullen ladies winning that intermediate title, a fantastic achievement, and they've come up through the ranks and lost a couple of finals at that level over the last few years, so to finally get over the line was brilliant, and congratulations as well to Eadstown for their three in a row as well at senior level too. A fantastic achievement for Grace Clifford and the team there, and maybe Kilcullen and Eadstown will be the two teams to watch next year in next year's championship. But yeah, a 4 in a row for the Naas hurlers, and again, they just continue to set the standard for the rest to follow. In fairness to Maynooth, obviously, you know, we know all about there. The fact that it was the first final for the club since 1943, you wouldn't have thought it, particularly for the first half, because they looked like a side who potentially could cause an upset. They certainly made things difficult for Naas. They withdrew the number 14 and 15, Keane Ford and Colin McCabe, as sweepers in the back line. And McCabe did have a chance to get forward to score in the 29th minute to tie the game for the fourth time in the first half at 6 points apiece. But Naas did score 3 points in the 2 minutes of injury time. They were added on at the end of the first half to go 9-6 ahead. And they moved ahead then into the second half and really showed their quality. And James Burke, he was outstanding. All 10 of his points came from frees, but he was brilliant around open play as well. And he caught some spectacular high balls too. And yeah, Naas are the ones to catch, and the likes of Maynooth and that Selbridge and other teams around the county, they're doing their best to keep up with them. We talk about them in the senior B's as well, and then title of day one. But at the moment, Naas just looking furious in Kildare, and they go forward now to a Leinster Senior Hurling Championship, and it will be very, very interesting to see how Naas can do in that competition, because Tom O'Leary, the manager, has history in terms of bringing a team from intermediate grade into Leinster Senior Championship. He did it with Mount Leinster Rangers in Carlow. 10 years ago, we won an All-Ireland title at the intermediate grade, as he did with Naas, and then he went on within a couple of years to get them to a Leinster Senior Final. So the talent is within that Naas ranks. We saw their minor team as well yesterday win a title in dramatic style against Selbridge. There's no sign of that conveyor belt of talent slowing down. So this is a Naas side to watch at the highest level in coming years, I think.
Yeah, let's hear from the manager, Tom O'Leary.
I think to be 2022 county champions is kind of more than enough for us. I mean, we're absolutely delighted with the day, delighted with the outcome, and most definitely the kind of result. We're thrilled with it, to be honest. Finals are finals, and usually the two best teams usually end up in it. And I think Naas, we've been consistent over the course of the year, but so have Maynooth since they've come into senior. I've settled quite quickly into senior hurling. I thought today they brought an aggression, a controlled aggression, a setup that was tested us in a lot over the course of the game. But credit to our players. I can't give our credit enough credit.
Yeah, here's Brian Byrne and Jack Sheridan.
Relieved, delighted, excited, tired. But look, overall, it's a fantastic feat. It's been a long year. We've done a lot of good things, and we've just kept going. And every kind of challenge that's been put towards us, we've come up with an answer. And it's culminated today with another Tony Crew Cup, thankfully.
When you look back at last year's championship as well, we beat Selbridge very easily going into group stage, and we met them in the final, and they brought an almighty fight. And as we expected today, we knew they were going to hunt them packs in and around the middle of the pitch. When one of our lads would get a ball, there'd be three or four of them that'd overturn us, and we expected a big battle, and that's what we got.
Yeah, well done to the Naas hurlers. Fantastic achievement, four in a row. And also well done to Maynooth, of course, getting to their first senior hurling championship final since the mid-1940s. Just to mention, the future ticketing Minor A hurling championship final, it was Naas 23 points, Selbridge 3-11. Minor B final, Broadford 3-16, Wolf Tones 2-8. And the Minor C final, St Columba's 5-14, Kilcock 5-10. Jer on Saturday, then Aero Curraquil with a 3-16-1-11 win against Naas in the Senior B Hurling Championship final.
Yeah, an important win for Aerog as well, and they were pretty good value for it. Naas had a very young side out, and they had a huge number of their side that played on Saturday and pulled to the minor final on Sunday when they defeated Selbridge. So, you know, it just shows the youthful nature of that side. But from an Aerog point of view, vitally important that they got back into the senior ranks. And it's good that we don't have this relegation playoff, promotion playoff that we used to have. It's a straight promotion now for Aerog after winning that Senior B title. And the likes of Paul Dermody, he's into his 40s there now, and he's given huge service to his club and county. And, you know, he looks as delighted as ever winning that county title. He gave a great speech on the steps afterwards. And, yeah, it's been a good couple of weeks for the Aero club as well, with their junior side also winning a county title a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, congratulations to all victorious teams over the weekend. Thanks to Dermot Nally and Seamus Dillon for their job on commentary and reporting over the weekend. And thanks to our two sponsors, Pacquiao Skoda Ballybritis, the Midland's number one Skoda dealer since 1996, and PhysioFit Kildare on Buckley's Lane in Maynooth, for their sponsorship of our coverage over the weekend.